that he was God. Which brings me to a second question, equally important, and I'd like to dwell on this with you for a while, is, well, what about Jesus' self-understanding? I mean, if John, a human being like John the beloved disciple, could come to the idea that Jesus was God, if John the beloved disciple could affirm of Jesus that he is God, and somehow hold that uncomprehended but statement that had meaning for him in his mind, well, why couldn't Jesus have the same idea? If it's possible for a human mind to conceive of such a thing, why not the human mind of Jesus? So the question I'd like to explore with you is, well, did Jesus, when he pondered who he was, did he think, I am God? Well, if that question interests you to explore for a moment, let me make some very important distinctions, and we can discuss them later if they need to be discussed. Firstly, if Jesus is man and God, then I'm not speaking of Jesus' divine consciousness. I know nothing about it. No one can know anything about it. I don't want to be that stupid to think we can explore God's divine consciousness. So I'm not talking about God's self-consciousness, clearly. Let me leave all that in the total mystery where it must be left. I'm speaking of Jesus' human consciousness, human understanding. Second point, I'm not speaking of Jesus' human consciousness of himself as a subject. May I develop this for you? When I know you as an object of my consciousness. I'm attending to you, watching you, speaking to you. But in the very act of watching you and speaking to you, I am conscious of myself as the subject speaking and watching. Clearly, whoever Jesus was, he was conscious of himself as the subject of his own actions and loving and operations. I'm not talking about self-consciousness, because that is, by very definition, unreflective. Thirdly, in other words, I'm speaking of his knowledge, not his consciousness. Thirdly, I'm not even speaking of Jesus' human consciousness of himself as an object. You can, and I can, reflect back on myself and experience myself being in pain. Attend to my own thoughts. Attend to myself rather than you. Attend to how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and where I'm going. Now, that simple experience of self is part of what I'm speaking about, but not the whole picture. I'm speaking, in other words, of Jesus' human self-understanding, of Jesus' human self-knowledge. And knowledge is more than experience. Knowledge is experience plus attention plus scrutiny plus inquiry plus insight plus conceiving plus naming plus reflecting plus checking plus judging. It's, in other words, the question I'm asking, put in the simplest terms, is when Jesus, who was clearly conscious of himself in his conscious states all the time, when he reflected on himself with his human psyche and asked the question that we may all ask, who am I? Did it occur to Jesus to answer, I am God? The obvious place to go to find an answer to that question, if it's possible, is the Gospels. Obviously, if we go to the real Jesus of Nazareth and we look at what Jesus really did and what he actually historically said, then just as we can with each other, if you say something of yourself, it's evidence to me of what you think about yourself, doesn't it? If you speak of yourself in certain terms, I can conclude that's how you think of yourself. from your words. Or I might discern it through your actions and your attitudes and your way of life. I can discern how you understand yourself. So if we look at the real Jesus and look at his actions and words, we can surely learn about his psyche, his consciousness, and his self-understanding. Our problem, however, and I'll just alert you to this, though we've discussed it earlier, is that Jesus didn't write the Gospels. So we don't have the psyche of the author in front of us. Other people wrote the Gospels. The Gospels are portraits of Jesus, interpretations of Jesus, certainly by those who loved him most, but they're not Jesus' words. And so when we find the words of Jesus in the Gospel, then if they have given us Jesus' actual words, well, once again, I can conclude, as you can conclude, in Jesus' self-understanding from them. And if they've given us Jesus' actual actions, likewise, we can draw those same conclusions. But the problem, which I'm sure you're following, is that we're dealing with drama, we're dealing with story, we're dealing with portraiture. We're dealing, and one has to be careful, one has to be sure that we've actually got Jesus' actual words before we can take that next step and draw conclusions of his psyche from them. Very often, the Gospels present us immediately more with the psyche of the community that wrote the Gospels than with the psyche of those who were present at the actual historical time in which Jesus acted and spoke. However, the Gospels, and this gives us a lot more confidence, the Gospels were accepted by the community as true portrayals of the real Jesus. They weren't just a portrait done by Mark or Matthew or Luke or John at random. No, they were accepted by the community who knew and loved Jesus as authentic portraits, giving us the real Jesus of Nazareth, his real aims, his real decisions, his real teaching, and his real person. Nothing in them can contradict that, or they would not have been accepted as authentic. And so, when the Gospel writer makes a claim about Jesus, we can be confident that that's how he saw the real Jesus, and not only he, but the community who received that Gospel affirmed from their own experience that it was true of him. So that when John, for example, has Thomas say of Jesus, "My Lord and my God," we can be confident that those who knew Jesus had come to that insight that he was their Lord and their God. And now my final point on this. The Gospels can easily make statements about Jesus, and we can take them as true. When they put the statements about Jesus on Jesus' own lips, that's something other. And insofar as they are true portrayals of Jesus, we can be confident that if Jesus made a statement, not necessarily that we have the actual words Jesus spoke, because first of all we're in Greek, not in Aramaic, but they really did preserve in their precious memory the actual words of Jesus. So we've got a lot more confidence than we might that they are the words of Jesus. And if they're not, they represent Jesus' own mind and feeling and teaching and aims and so on. And so I think it's more likely than not that if the Gospel writer not only portrays Jesus in a certain way, but portrays Jesus as expressing his own vision of himself in certain words, that whereas we can't be as sure as we'd like because the documents weren't designed to answer our psychological questions, we can be confident that we're close to and in touch with Jesus as he was understood and received by those who loved him most. And if that's true, and I think it is, then when we look at the evidence of the New Testament, we find a number of things. And I'm reminding you now of matter we did a lot earlier. Firstly, it's clear, ample evidence, that Jesus thought of himself as a prophet with a mission from God, speaking God's words. Hundreds of texts to that effect. When he thought of himself as a prophet, he seemed to use of himself that expression, son of man, which tells us how he thought of himself as a prophet, as one who identified with the poor, the lonely, the oppressed, the outsiders, the outcasts, one who would be vindicated by God, one who identified with us in our humanity, in our flesh, in our weakness, our being persecuted and downtrodden, with the poor. That's how he identified. Secondly, the psyche of Jesus that comes to us through the New Testament. Jesus is obviously very aware of the unique and beautiful intimacy of his prayer with the Father. His very use of the word Abba is surely proof of that. He makes statements in John's Gospel like, the Father and I are one. Obviously not identifying with the Father, because Father is not the Son. But one in a beautiful unity of mind and heart, and perhaps something more, a sense of something more there. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. We find that expression on the lips of Jesus. He was very aware of this incredible intimacy, and he must have recognized its uniqueness among those with whom he lived. Thirdly, from the New Testament, we must say that nowhere does Jesus claim to be God in as many words. That's a fact and needs to be established. Yet, in other ways, we find Jesus claiming a divine authority way beyond any of the prophets. We find him making expressions in John's Gospel, particularly, expression like, I am he, you, the ego eimi in the Greek that we looked at in an earlier lecture, that Yahweh word. We find him walking on the water in that scene, and you find his word saying, I am he, aware of some mysterious reality about his unity with God. We find him saying, before Abraham ever was, I am. Now, John isn't just saying that of Jesus. He has Jesus say it of himself. What's he trying to communicate? What can we conclude from that? And finally, going back to what I said earlier, which is a hypothesis, I suppose, of the basic psychological ground of John's calling Jesus God, Jesus must have noticed how people responded to him. If John noticed how he responded to Jesus, why couldn't Jesus notice how John responded to Jesus? Why wouldn't he have had to reflect on that as well? Wouldn't he have noticed that when people responded to him, they responded with a religious response, with a response that was only for God? Wouldn't that have been something that he would have pondered, that he would have wondered about? And so, to conclude this question of Jesus being God, and was he aware of it, I think the answer has to be fairly hesitant on that. I don't know that we have the evidence to come up with any absolute answer to that question, mainly because of the nature of the Gospels. But I think it's likely, more likely than not, that Jesus did come to the insight that John came to not many years later. And if so, Jesus' own awareness of who he was, human awareness, must have played some part in his teaching and in his self-reflection and in his sense of mission and in the words that he spoke that enabled John to come himself to the same conclusion. But whatever of that, let me stress again certain things that I think one must hold while one says that. Jesus' human mind and psyche could not, obviously, comprehend such a mystery. Jesus' own sense of his own person, since he's like us in everything, would have been based, like our sense of our own person, on relationships we have with other people and on their response to us. That's how we find who we are, in relationship with other people. Jesus would surely have died wondering about the implications. Who am I? Just as we will all die with that question still being explored. Who am I? What am I? I'm a human being, of course. I'm a man. But who am I? A question that goes right into the mysterious depths of each one of us would have gone into the mysterious depths of Jesus. And whatever answers he came up with, human, hesitant, exploratory answers that he would have come up with. They didn't free him, as we've said earlier, from the ambiguities of the human condition. They didn't make anything easier for him. In fact, surely, when he watched people's response to him, and when he became aware of the uniqueness of his own intimacy with God, and when he was aware of the power that went out of him, and when so many things happened that his human psyche had to come to terms with in the same ways that our human psyche has to come to terms with things, it would have heightened the mystery, the pain, the sensitivity, the incomprehending nature of his own mission and his own life.